Kyle and Jim, Fantasy Football Extraordinary. I'm Jim, one of your hosts, and over here is Kyle. How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing great. Just want to start the show off saying congrats on the big wedding this last weekend. I'm just going to kick it out there. If Vicky wins this year, I'm going to slap down Vicky Petrzelka on that trophy for a little bit of revenge for putting Jackie Sonnentaget on it last time my wife won shortly after our wedding.
I mean, I would deserve that. That's fair.
I won't. Unless I actually forget, which is possible. It's still new.
See, I just think I told him, like, it's Jackie. Her name's right here. And I handed it to him when he just copied the name that was around there. Because didn't she win it before? So
it's true. Her name was, Jackie Sonnentag was on there. But Jackie Rathgaber should be on there once too. Then there'd be more Rathgaber representation in the trophy.
Right. But. We got to go off of total last names in the future. You know, once Leo gets into it, you know, we might have a third person. So it'll help us out unless you have like a little nephew or something.
You getting them in? You teaching him the ropes of football?
He doesn't really like it yet. He gets a little excited because it's hard for him to pay attention. So he'll be excited if I get excited. And he loves the new Lions black uniforms. So he's really excited for this Monday night because they have the black uniforms on. So he'll probably watch this Monday night, but that'd be the first game that he sat down all year. His favorite player is Amon-Ra St. Brown. So that's fun.
Fair. It's a good player to root for.
Yeah. He likes that his name is Sun God.
That's a good nickname too. Yeah. Can't really beat it. So yeah, last week we bet on Thursday Night Football again. I had the Pats, you had the Jets, and the Jets just fucking rolled the Pats. I thought the Patriots had a shot. They looked okay in the first couple games. I thought their defense was legit, and they might have be able to hold the Jets in place, but I was way off on that one. So I'm going to crack my Malort and take my first shot of the year. See if I can get the crack noise in there.
It was a little pop.
Did get her? Yeah, I have noise suppression on, so it's probably trying to not do that.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like it was cutting it out.
Yeah, crisper. It's too good. Cheerio. First shot of Malort. Looking so thrilled about this. God damn it.
Face is getting a little red there.
Mm-mm-mm. Never gets old.
It's never pleasant.
Oh, God, I didn't grab a chaser beer either. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, last week I only had a water, so I was like what sip. Am I supposed to chase it with? I'm like, oh, it still just tastes like Malort. Okay.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's going to taste like Malort for a while anyways. All right. Shot is down the hatch. On to the next segment. I'm just going to call this one Real Talk because we got to talk about this for real. We made our season-long bets on who would win the division. And you took the Lions, obviously. I took the Packers. We didn't really discuss what was going to happen if another team won the division, because I don't know if you really considered it at the time. I didn't. But the Vikings are now 3-0, and they look pretty good so far. So what do you want to do if neither one of our betting teams actually wind up winning the division?
Well, it's not going to happen because the Lions still are going to win. I'm confident in my pick. But what I think, if the Vikings were to win, which would be, I still think is going to be really crazy. I don't really think they're a legit 3-0. I think they've played well. They played some teams a lot better than we expected, but I think they're going to come back to normal. I think we both need to wear the other jersey. We should both be punished at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're both wrong. So, right. We both lose the bet. So, yeah, that sounds fair.
Maybe we can add Ashley into that somehow and she can get a little laughs at us too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think. Well, I mean, I got to wear a Lions jersey. You got to wear a Packers jersey. We can take a picture with Ashley with her Vikings jersey.
There we go.
Like that. Yeah. That works. All right, so now that we got that settled, first thing of the week is the weekly poll results. So this last week, we had the bet on we had the Lover's Quarrel, Mike versus Tiff. Tiff won, but I'm putting a huge, big fat asterisk in this one because the time that we all cast our votes for Mike had Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels as his quarterback. I feel like any reasonable person would have assumed that he was going to start one of those two quarterbacks. But instead, he drops a fifth of his fab on Derek Carr to roster a third quarterback on his team, and he starts him over those other two. And then he proceeds to lose by 5 points to Tiff. If he would have started either Jaden Daniels or Joe Burrow, he would have won by about 20 points. So yeah, I'm putting a big old asterisk in this one. It's bullshit. Thanks a lot, Mike. But that's what it is. So congrats to Tiff, Richard, Jackie, and Vicky. You four won the $5. It's already updated in your fab. And also all four of you owe Mike a drink, I think, next time you see him, because he did you a huge favor there.
Yeah, he kind of rigged the whole thing. I think he, you know, he probably had some money on the game.
Maybe he did. Something fishy is going on there.
That's why we got to get rid of betting in sports right here.
Yeah. Can't bet on your own team. If you're involved in the poll result, you can't bet anymore. Or change your lineup. I don't know. It is what it is. It was just funny. So yeah, on that note, we're going to cut into our interview right away this week. We got a special guest.
All right. So on that note, we're glad to have a two-time champ on the show. How's it going, Heebs?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
I'm doing pretty good. Had a good weekend, as everyone may know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all right, I would say.
We all had a good time there.
We didn't drink enough Malort.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to see the bottle. Is it half gone now?
There's plenty left for you. Don't worry. Even if you lose all the rest, there should be enough.
Get thirsty.
You're safe today, though. Alrighty, Heeb. So, first question for you here.
Yeah.
You drafted Mike's team this year. Sure. So, in your opinion, if Mike wins this year, do we have to put like an asterisk by his name, or do we have to like try to do a name merge with your name, like Jike or Mightston, or we can go with Jackie's coined phrase, Michael Huebner?
You know, I think we got to go Michael Huebner.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it certainly does. I know that'll just eat at Mike just a little bit, having my surname on there.
We've already got one last name wrong on the trophy. We can do another one. We'll kick it to Jim for the next question.
So Heebs.
Yes,
those of us newer to the league, you know, some that maybe don't have their name on the trophy. Heebs won in 2017 and 2018 back to back. Then retired with an impressive 50% champ rate, as we were only around for 4 years at that time, so you won 50% of them. So what made you want to go out on top? Was the league too easy for you? Too many other leagues? Why did you end up leaving us?
It was way too many leagues. So I think I was doing 2 years at the time, and when I dropped out of those, that got me down to 7. And I think I dropped out of 2 more that year. I did 5 from like 2019, 2020. And then after that, I was just pretty much done. I just did a league of my buddies and a work league. And now I'm just down to the work league this year. Yeah, it was, oh my God. It got to the point where I was getting up at like 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings just to check what the hell is going on to try and keep track of everything. It was too much. Starting to take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I had about 7 leagues or so a couple years ago, playing every waiver wire, paying attention to every league. It was just overwhelming having all that to pay attention to. It's just like, no, I went down to 1 league last year and I had more fun than I had in years. So
yeah,
enjoy it.
Yeah, less I think is definitely more. Now that I'm older, getting older. I might have been different if, I mean, most of the leagues I was in, like, either they were free or they're only like $5-$10. So it was like not much on the line. It's like it might have been different if it, you know, these would have been $50-$100 leagues, but ugh.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a lot.
Yeah, for me, 2 is the perfect sweet spot. That way, in case one of your drafts go disastrously wrong,
the other Mike's.
At least you've got one league to fall back on and be like, all right, at least I'm having fun at one spot this year. But yeah, I tried 3 a couple times. I'm actually in 3 this year, and the third one is just kind of a That's only three, but that's already a pain in the ass for me.
Yeah, I think two is a good number. It gives you, like you said, it gives you one league if the other league doesn't go your way. And it's pretty easy to manage two of them. Once you add that third one, though, that's when you start getting confused. What league had what? Who's in what? And yeah, two's a good number.
All right, so next question. So as a two-time champ, and which with kind of Mike's team, which you drafted for him, looking so pretty good so far this year. What's the secret to your success, Ebs?
Honestly, a lot of intense research right before the draft. Like, I honestly don't start until a week before. And usually, you know, I kind of take a look at the rankings, like at ESPN and what's the other one? Oh, Yahoo. I look at those, but then I like to go to like each and every team's individual like beat writer pages, like, and kind of look at what they have to say. Like, for example, this year I was real high on Malik Nabers because the beat writers for the Giants were just going nuts. Like he was clowning their number one DBs in practice. Like, it's like, we haven't seen anybody like this since Odell, and we think he might even be better. So it's like, okay, I had him on my radar. Honestly, that's pretty much it. I don't usually pay too much attention to preseason much. I think it's all, that's pretty much just backups fighting for jobs at this point. And I think you can kind of tell because, like, the first 3 weeks of this season have just been bonkers. Like, what? Like, I'm so glad I'm not in any pick 'em leagues this year because, woof.
Mine's been rough. I think the last 2 weeks I only got half of them right. The first week was all right, but after that, yeah, it was tough.
Like, the Bills and Chiefs are sure things. That's it.
Well, I think last week didn't like over half of them were flipped.
It might have been, and even if they weren't, they were like, there were some pretty surefire ones, or what people thought were surefire ones that didn't go that way. But yeah, I mean, your draft this year looked good too. You got some Malik Nabers is one of your good calls. J.K. Dobbins was another good call you got.
Yeah, I try to ignore injuries as much as possible. I know Jim has talked to Dan Dobbins on the podcast before, and yeah, I like him too. I still believe in Zay Flowers. I think the Ravens are turning around. Justin Jefferson, obviously. I can't believe he was sitting so late in so many drafts, like 7, 8. Like, I think he's still going to be the number one wide receiver. Stevenson.
Yeah, people didn't believe in the quarterback. That's proven to be wrong so far.
Yeah. Apparently Kevin O'Connell really might actually be a quarterback whisperer because Darnold sure looks good. My goodness. Vikings look good. He's just ugh.
Yeah.
I'm still worried if like teams just don't have enough games of data on them right now. Sometimes like these quarterbacks will come out for like 4 or 5 weeks, play really good, and then once defensive coordinators get that extra couple games in, then they can start countering. So I wouldn't say he's going to be crazy good yet, but keeps on the trajectory, sure, but wait till like week 5 or 6 and let's see what he's doing then.
I will say Sam Bradford did this exact same thing in Carolina like 4 years ago or 3 years ago. Came out 3-0, looked awesome, all the hype, and then just went to disaster after that. So those things can happen, and it's happened to him before already. So
yeah, we'll see.
Take the early year for what it is.
The great Matt Patricia once said that the NFL teams aren't actually like what they're going to be until about Thanksgiving. He says that's when you can see what a real team is. Don't even bother paying attention to the early part of the season. So it kind of tells you.
Well, look at the Packers last year. Thanksgiving. Yep. Walking into the Lions and smoked them, and the rest of the year was history.
Yep. And that started a huge momentum boost for him.
Yeah, sure did.
So, Heaps, I got another question for you, though.
Yeah, what's up?
Kind of had Mike go a little rogue.
Yeah.
So instead of using one of the quarterbacks you drafted him, two quarterbacks that I really love this year, by the way, I was like, oh, that's a great setup for him. And then he ended up picking up Derek Carr and started him this week. this is a little insulting to your team because obviously you picked him. Well, I think they're two really good quarterbacks. He went and got a third one, and he lost the week because of that decision.
Well,
what do you think about that?
Okay. You're talking week one or week three?
Week three.
Week three. Okay. Well, he'd have started Juwan Jennings. I mean, come on. Unless he just, 41 points sitting on his bench? Actually, no, he had, who else did he have? Oh, yeah, Jaden Daniels on his bench. So combined, I think he had, 69 points on his bench? I mean, that's why he lost, in my opinion. But no, I'm not offended that he picked up Derek Carr. I mean, all of a sudden, Derek Carr is lighting it up the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's, honestly, that's kind of part of that strategy, right? If you don't necessarily love your first quarterback and you get like that second one to swing around with, you might drop him a couple of weeks, pick up something else, see, and you just wait until you hit the guy who maybe is
Jalen. Yeah. Or Jaden Daniels, man. I think that guy's legit. He looks good.
Yeah, I was reading my notes here. It says Jalen Ward. I meant Jaden Daniels this whole time. Kyle screwed me on that.
Yep. I saw that too. I just edited it on my end, but kind of too late at this point.
It kept messing with me. I'm just like, Jalen Ward,
what the fuck is he talking about?
But yeah, actually talking about Jaden Daniels, like, I mean, he looks like he might be one of the steals of fantasy. He's got that same thing that Hurts has, Lamar has, obviously the running ability, but then he's proven to be, he looked amazing on Monday night.
He was poised
in the pocket. He's got incredible touch. That might be Mike's starter going forward. That guy.
Yeah.
Especially.
I'm so happy for Terry McLaurin. My guy. It's fun. Somebody might actually finally get him the football religiously.
Right. Actually, that was the consensus on Reddit too. I was reading like the post game chat and people were just saying how awesome they felt for him just because he's gone through. It's like already 9 or 10 quarterbacks in his career. And he's one of the best receivers in the league and doesn't get recognized like that because of all the inconsistencies at a quarterback.
It's like kind of like Calvin Johnson until he got Stafford.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people kind of knew right away Calvin though, being arguably the best prospect of all time at the position. So he still had that hype. McLaurin was like a 4th-round pick, 3rd-round?
No.
Yeah, well, he had an awesome rookie. Well, he had a lot of awesome plays his rookie season.
Yeah. In the actual NFL draft, when was he drafted? He was drafted in the 3rd or 4th round. He wasn't expected to be crazy good, and then he was awesome his rookie year.
Number 76, so no, yeah, 3rd-rounder.
That's surprisingly low.
Yeah, I honestly thought he was a lot higher than that.
Yeah, no, he was like the second receiver there at Ohio State during that time. I can't remember who was in front of him. Maybe Michael Thomas? It was around that time.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it comes down to Mike could have started either one of those quarterbacks and won. Instead, he went with Mr. Derek Carr himself and lost by 4 points. He would have won by a solid 20. See, I guess we kind of went over this already, but you in any other leagues these days? Like you said, you're in your work league.
I am, and funny enough, I had the draft in my calendar for September 3rd, and it was definitely September 2nd, and nobody messaged me, so I auto-drafted with the first pick overall.
You auto-drafted your whole team, or did you just...
The whole team, yeah.
Team's auto-drafted, huh?
Yep. Ouch. I was completely oblivious.
And you got McCaffrey, too, I assume, huh?
Yeah,
that's really rough.
I also got Puka. I did win this last week. I'm just pulling up my team here.
What's the best pick that the auto pick pulled off? Or were they better than the actual?
Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I got Jaden Daniels in? Nice.
Yeah, my two quarterbacks were Anthony Richardson and Jaden Daniels, and I've had Daniels all 3 weeks, so he's doing all right. And which is good because Anthony Richardson looks bad.
Boy. Yeah, I think we've talked about that already.
He will.
New part.
Yeah, Wolf.
I really thought he's the next Cam Newton.
He'll have his moments like that throw to Alec Pierce. But, ouch.
For every one of those, there's just two wild interceptions.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Is he even at 50% completion percentage on the season yet?
I know he was below. I thought he was at 47.4.
Oh my god. And I think he was only like a 52% passer in college.
In what, one season?
Yeah, he barely played in college either.
Yeah, and he was like right around 50%. Like, that was the biggest knock on him. People were like, can he even play quarterback? Like, yeah, he's the greatest athlete of all time at the position, but he can't throw. Turns out, like, no. He could throw really far. That's cool, I guess.
I don't know if you're talking about this or, but just god, watching Malik Willis, man, like, LaFleur looks like a freaking genius.
makes you feel good when you're a fan of like a well-run organization that actually has good management. They have good coaching. Like, the fact that he's even on our team, as a Packer fan, I was like, what the fuck is he doing on our team? Why did we, like, we got him for basically free. It was a 7th-round pick, I believe.
Yeah.
But you're still just like, why would you even bring him over here? He was terrible, but somebody must have known something that they saw and that they liked about him. Because, I mean, three weeks on being on the team, he looks pretty damn competent.
Yeah. I just remember he was like preseason Jesus last year for the Titans. Like, he was lighting it up. And then he never saw the field in the regular season.
I mean, he was really bad in the couple starts he got in Tennessee. I think one of the games, they didn't even throw the ball. They're just like, no, we're not even going to let this guy take passes, which is ridiculous to think. Even
looking at him
Broncos,
now.
Even when the Broncos lost like all their quarterbacks to COVID that one week and they had a receiver throw for him, they had that guy throw more passes than Malik did in his like first NFL start.
Yeah. I mean, if there's any consolation to an auto draft, I think, was it 2 years ago? Richard in our league came in second place when he auto drafted his team. I think it was the best team he ever had, actually.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
It's as backhanded of a compliment as I've ever heard.
Well, that's what he gets for not showing up for the draft.
Right. But hey, man, it actually shows like there's a lot of luck that goes into this. You don't have to be necessarily that skilled. A lot of it just comes down to luck.
That's why it's gambling.
Injuries are a big part of that luck.
Yeah.
If your first two picks are Christian McCaffrey and Puka Nacua, you might be toast.
I'll look at the power rankings on ESPN just because it's fun, just to see like what team they thought is the best and the worst. And I think Scooter went from like middle of the pack to number one, then he had all the injuries. Now he's like last place on the list or like something crazy like that because of injuries. I know he's had a couple big injuries with Cup and I believe someone else. Didn't he lose someone else?
Well, he traded for McCaffrey, so now he's got another huge player that's on IR for TBD.
But yeah, it's just funny to watch them. I mean, it shows you how much like randomization there is week to week in this game.
Speaking of ESPN's fantasy rankings, I heard you put together some power rankings for our league, Heebs, giving us an outside eyeball on it.
Yeah, I just kind of a brief overview of what's happened so far this year. I got to put Jim's team at number one. I mean, just top to bottom looking at it. Hurts is probably going to be 20 plus every game. Barkley is going to be probably 15 to 20 every game. Montgomery's good. London's going to get his points. Chase Williams just had a bad week. What, 0.7 this last week or something? It wasn't good, but he's not going to do that normally. Pitts is going to get his. Bucky Irving, I really like him right now. I think he's going to get more and more touches. Rashad White's not doing anything with the football. I don't even think he's averaging 3 yards a carry, and Bucky Irving's over 6. Jim number one. Look, and then there's, 5 teams at 2-1. I put Poor Boy actually at number 2. He is second in points overall. Yeah, I really like his team, too. We'll see what Kamara does, if Kamara can keep destroying like he has been. I heard a stat earlier today, actually, that, like, or, I don't know, was it 14 times over the last couple of years he's been the number one overall running back? in a week. It's
he did it a ton. Crazy. In the Drew Brees days, he did it all the fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should talk about that on last podcast, same 14 game stat, because it was number two, because 14 games is the number one overall running back for a week.
Yeah.
And LaDainian Tomlinson was the only player that had more than him. Or no, he had more than LaDainian Tomlinson, but they didn't count like three of like LT's greatest seasons. So it just shows you how crazy LT was. But yeah, it's even crazy that he's that high up the list to be number two to LT. He's pretty special.
Yeah, number three, I've got Kyle. Pretty solid. Worthy kind of concerns me. I think he's one of those, he could go for 20 to 25 points, or he could go for 0 to 5.
My third wide receiver is a big concern right now.
I mean, you got Watson and Wicks. Those are another two guys. I mean, who's going to catch the ball that week, that particular week? Or are they going to run the ball 40 times? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Samuel, I kind of would like him as my number three, but... Buffalo seems to be a whole lot better if they're spreading the ball around 8-9 guys every game. So who knows? That could be another one. Yeah, number four. I've actually got Richard sitting at number four. Looks like Baltimore finally figured out how to use Derrick Henry. So I expect him to start getting more points. Turns out likely he's the new Mark Andrews. He's going to get a bunch of points there. Godwin's going to get his. Devontae Smith, he'll get his. Moving on, number five. Actually got Scooter. Carolina. Oh, goodness. I know you guys talked about Bryce Young getting benched in last week, but... Oh, man, Andy Dalton just made him look bad. So bad. I mean, the Raiders aren't awful. They seem to be Jekyll and Hyde so far this year, too. But, man, that was a Carolina, a whole different team when Bryce Young is on the bench. I know he'll never start again.
Yeah. Scoots needs a new quarterback. That's his biggest issue right now. I don't know how he can start Anthony Richardson anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's two terrible weeks in a row. You can't have your quarterback going for, what was it, like single digits both weeks?
Yeah, he just throws too many picks.
Yeah. If he can get somebody off the waiver wire, I mean, someone serviceable, he'll eventually get McCaffrey back and Cooper Kupp will come back. And I think Odunze, he'll be pretty reliable down the stretch. Who knows what's going on with Tyreek Hill and Waddle and the Dolphins. Ugh.
Yeah.
They need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback.
I think Tua will be back eventually. So, like, as long as he's in the playoffs, then he gets Tua back and he's normal, then he goes back to being in a really good spot because then Tyreek Hill goes shot up to the number one player receiver again, probably.
Plus, he gets Kupp back. Plus, he gets McCaffrey back. He'll be a terror if he's in the playoffs. That'll be an extremely scary team.
Yep. He just needs to navigate through the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How are we at number six, halfway through? Put Tiff at number six. She's just gonna ride Josh Allen all season. I mean, that guy, you get rid of Stephon Diggs and somehow they get better, I guess. Number seven, I've got Mike at seven. I like his team, but I also drafted it, so yeah. There's that. Number, what was that?
Except for his quarterback.
Well, until he starts starting Jaden Daniels every week. anyway. I've got Jackie at number eight. CJ Stroud will be all right. Charbonnet will get his points if Kenneth Walker's ever out. If Seattle was smart, they would split those guys half and half just to take the load off of Walker a little bit because he's hurt again, but Charbonnet looks good.
They seem to like Walker a lot more.
I think it's not necessarily thing they like him a lot more. I think they just like the fact that they have a real smash mouth running style, both of them, and they know they're gonna probably get injured. I think they just know that he can just fill right in. But I think they should use them more like how the Lions do with their running backs and just like switch every drive. Just that's alternating that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely works for the Lions. That would be a smart
just
way to
keep
doing
some, it. Keep some fresh, you know. They're just taking off, you know, just a drive every now and then. So you always have a healthy running back in play.
Yeah. See. Number nine. I got Kirsten's at number nine. Yeah, kind of looking at his team, I'm a little surprised they're 1-2. He's 1-2. Jackson and Kyren Williams. Well, Kyren Williams finally busted out this last week. Did he have to, like, 30 points?
Yeah, he had 30.
Yeah.
One with a front flip.
Oh, that one I did not see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
No, I
flipped
missed that
right over
one.
Top of a guy that was trying to tackle him low.
Nice.
Basically landed it.
Well, yeah, I'll check that one out. Number 10. Who did I have at 10? Oh, I got Ashley at number 10. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Well, I shouldn't say I'm surprised. Considering how Tennessee looked against Green Bay, that offensive line kind of stinks. But I was hoping Tony Pollard was going to look better than what he has. I think Deontay Johnson's going to start putting up a lot of points now that he has someone throwing him the football.
Is it safe to say that's Deontay Johnson's best quarterback he's ever played with?
Easily.
Was he there after Big Ben?
I think it was after Big Ben. So he had to deal with...
Oh, God. Mason Rudolph and who else? Oh, God.
The Pittsburgh guy. The guy they traded. What's his name?
Trubisky.
No, Trubisky, the two gloves.
There's another one, too.
Yeah, they had Trubisky, too.
Who's the guy that wore two gloves? They always called him two gloves.
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett. So, yeah, bet you Dalton is the best quarterback he's ever played with.
Yeah, that's very true. Is Kenny Pickett in the league?
Yeah, he got traded to the Eagles, right? I think he's the Eagles backup.
Oh, he's the Eagles backup. Okay.
He got traded somewhere.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Number 11. I've got Vicky. God, I love seeing Caleb Williams just fall flat on his face, but he has no offensive line either. So I hope Chicago just doesn't get him killed. I was not a Najee Harris fan going into the season, but he's putting up points. Jacobs, yeah, he's not going to get his, 30-some carries every game, but he's going to get his. Amon Ra's great. Terry McLaurin, I love that dude. And then finally, last but certainly not least, we have Lee, who actually, poor Lee, who I'm actually going to call out because I'm very disappointed to hear that you kept the trophy in a closet. How dare you, sir? You proudly display that where everyone can see your failures. For shame, sir. For shame. Dicks don't belong in closets.
It's like his gaming room / spare bedroom.
So, yeah, no one goes there.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It's got to be a centerpiece.
Find out where Carson's is keeping it.
It needs to be a stipulation. Especially now that it's a knighting ceremony. I mean, come on. Now you have to proudly display that. You were knighted with the damn thing.
Yeah, the rules are kind of iffy on that one. I don't know what you'd do if, like if Jim or Vicky lose it. Just going to put it in your living room for Leo to see and ask questions about?
That's not happening. I was in my early 20s and single or without a kid, and I would be fine with that.
You sit down and have the conversation. Be like, sometimes when mommy and daddy play fantasy football, one of us is really bad. Don't tell your friends.
So you got Jim on top. You got
Jim on top, Lee on the bottom.
Just like it was always meant to be.
Lee almost had one on you this week, Jim. He was damn close.
That Monday Miracles that's been 3 weeks in a row.
Every week you speak it out. I don't know. It's like the last or second last game of the week you managed to just get a comeback win.
Yep. No, it's felt great. It's been three in a row, all comeback.
We'll see if that lasts.
Can't keep getting away with it.
Mm-hmm. It's been going on so far.
It's been happening with the Vikings too. I don't know if they're going undefeated this year.
I would. They're an okay spot, but I just think, like I said before, I think eventually teams are going to kind of figure out what they're doing with him and Darnold. And then once they figure that out, we'll probably see the Darnold we've all expected to see.
I hope it's this week, personally.
Oh, that's right. That's the big game.
Yep.
The first, like, real big divisional game.
Jordan Love might be there. He might not be. Time will tell. My guess is he won't play because we won the last two. But who knows?
It is a division game, though. Like, yeah. They're going to play him one or the other. They'd want to play him for the division game.
True, but if you're 2-1 and he's, like, almost ready, do you rush him in and you'd be like, fuck it. If we're 2-2, that's fine. That's not like a grave situation you got to worry too much about.
I'd still roll with Malik Willis. He's the hot hand right now. And if Love's not 100%, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe
McKinney and Jair can get a couple of picks and who knows?
Jair's got a good track record against Justin Jefferson, actually.
He does, yeah.
Plus, you get to kind of see if Malik's legit, because if he can move the ball against that Vikings defense, which has shut down some really good teams so far this year, like that will be a big, big feather in his cap.
Oh, yeah, we can turn that 7th-round pick into like a fucking 2nd or 3rd-round pick or something.
Yeah. He'd become really valuable.
Yeah.
I was going to say they should turn around and flip Malik Willis to the Dolphins for a 2nd-rounder.
I still can't believe they had backup with Tua. You think they would have had like some great backup, but nope.
Or at least another.
They should trade Malik Willis to the Titans because they clearly need a quarterback over there for a 2nd-round pick. Here you go, dipshits.
I gotta be honest. I thought Will Levis is gonna look a lot better than what he has.
Well, I think you could see it with Will Levis. Like the guy can make some crazy throws. He is in the upper echelon in the NFL with arm talent. There is a lot to be excited about, but then there's like 2 or 3 plays a game where he literally can throw the game because he just does the most wild shit you could see. It reminds me of Carson Wentz near the end of his career, or I guess he's not, his career's done, end of his like starting career when he was just doing the craziest stuff. Like he would have 5 great plays and then just do the 3 biggest turtles you ever seen that were so avoidable, but that's just the way he played.
Kind of like Jameis and Winston style too.
Yep.
Crazy good plays. 30 clubs. Like, turned it over again.
30 interceptions. My goodness.
Yeah, they started calling it the 30-30 club. It's like him and Brett Favre or something, I think. It's like over 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions in the season.
Yeah. About all I got. Any other parting words or anything, Heaps?
I was going to say, you just happened to mention Brett Favre. You guys hear he's got Parkinson's?
I did hear that today.
He apparently said it during his congressional hearing.
Yeah, assuming. Yeah, it's like that sympathy thing, I'm presuming.
Yeah. It's like you were still stealing welfare funds, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless they're using that as like his defense, like, you know, it's a degenerative disease. I didn't know what I was doing 7 years ago when this happened.
If it's the long PR play, I mean, bravo to him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's just the sympathy vote or the sympathy appearance.
I don't know.
I mean, I hope he actually has it. He better not be fucking lying about that. I shouldn't say I hope he has it. That's worded poorly, but I hope he's not lying about having it to try to get sympathy.
Oh, I was going to say.
That'd be like an even new low.
I was just going to say the whole thing sounds a bit shaky to me, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's a shaky defense. Just saying. I have Parkinson's. I'm convict.
Just ask Michael J. Fox.
We have to cut this whole section out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't like it. Yeah, we're going to edit this out. Yeah.
By the Parkinson's disease group.
I think it's fine anyway. There's probably a good spot to stop before we kind of just start chatting around anyway.
AI's already picked us up. It's too late.
Yeah. If one of the 15 people listening report us.
Yeah.
Right. People that we know.
Yeah.
we'll go back to the part where you can cut back. Any parting words? Not too much. Just kind of want to wish everybody luck, especially Mike, since it's half my team. So, yeah, good luck, everybody. Have fun.
Thank you. Appreciate the luck. You should be able to watch the league now, too, now that you're invited in as a spectator, kind of. You can keep an eye on my team and how it's doing.
I'm going to keep an eye on the standings.
If you see him putting Derek Carr in his lineup, you can text him at least.
Give him some advice from afar.
Like, hey, did you check your lineup this week? Or going to make any changes, maybe?
Are you going to put Jaden Daniels in, or am I going to make the commissioner do it for you?
Commissioner request line.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. This was awesome.
It was a good time. Yes. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you guys are doing a good job. You're really easy to listen to.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. We didn't really know what to expect when we started it. We're just kind of like, well, let's see what happens.
It's fun.
Definitely
I enjoy
still
it.
Figuring it out.
Keep up the good work.
We'll try.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good night, guys.
You too. Thank you.
Peace.
Alrighty. Next segment, we got the Week 3 NFL highlights. My first note, Cowboys lost their third straight home game to the Ravens, and they fall to 1-2. And the Ravens secured their first win of the season. What are your thoughts on the Cowboys? I think I asked this last week, but I'm pretty low on them. I mean, the last 2 years, they were undefeated at home during the regular season. And that's 8 of their wins. They were a 12-win team. They've already lost 2 this year. I'm quite concerned. Their running game is non-existent now. They've got a hodgepodge of random dudes who all don't seem very good. And their defense is not looking good. I'm concerned.
Honestly, they kind of remind me of the Lions in the early Stafford years where we had a bunch of salary cap problems. So we couldn't really afford to roster like a very balanced roster. So we'd have like, you know, Calvin Johnson, we have Ndamukong Suh, we have Matthew Stafford taking up so much of our cap. So we'd always have like glaring holes at like, you know, running back, or we'd have glaring holes like our defensive line would just underperform every year. That's kind of what they're at right now. Obviously, they spent no money at running back. They're trying their best to just make things work, and it's just not. I mean, running back talent isn't the most important thing in the game, but it definitely still matters to a point. And then also, I think what you're seeing is teams are able to attack their weakness on defense. Yeah, sure, they have probably one of the best pass rushes in the league, but teams are just running at them and they can't stop the run. So you can't ever get the pass rush from the defense because they don't ever have to worry about it. They're just running down them. So yeah, just two big glaring weaknesses that teams are exploiting. And I think that's why you see them 0-3.
Yeah, that run defense looks atrocious right now. Everyone's just in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, they've given up. It's got to be almost 400 yards rushing. You can't win if you're doing that. You're just letting the team eat up. You're letting the opposing team eat up so much clock and just march down the fields and take points almost every drive. You can't win games like that.
It affords you no mistakes because the games are basically shorter because you don't have as much time on offense. So like one mistake is just the game's over.
Yeah, hopefully they can figure that out for their sake. All right, next up I got the Rams and McVay just securing a comeback win over the 49ers. The Rams are pretty beat up, but the Niners were also without Debo, CMC, or Kittle this week. So the Niners lose. They fall to 1-2. They were just the Super Bowl runners-up last year. What do you make of this situation?
It kind of started out slow last year, I thought, too, but this seems a little different. It seems that the offense is just not connecting as well as it was last year. I mean, they do have so many starters down, but you'd think it would be still kind of status quo like they were last year when they had some injuries, too. It didn't seem to faze them as much. And the defense doesn't seem to be playing up to the same level as it did in the past. So I think that's why you're seeing down two games. In this game, the Rams are probably more beat up than they are and don't have their two stars receiver, and they just kind of came back with a miraculous win. I didn't really watch the game, but I did hear that a lot of people thought that Shanahan just started throwing the ball way too much when they were kind of like up pretty big, and that just they made mistakes, and then the Rams eventually took advantage of it. It's one of Shanahan's biggest gripes that most people have about him. So a lot of people think he might have threw the game. So yeah,
it could be. Yeah, I mean, it's like that kind of shit happens. But yeah, I mean, the Niners can look good when a couple guys are out. Man, when you're missing Debo, Christian McCaffrey, and Kittle, that makes it hard. Ayuk didn't do much either. That other guy had the game of the fucking century.
Jennings.
Jennings. Yeah, we'll get to him later. So yeah, good win by the Rams. That's a sad loss for the Niners though. Up next we got the Panthers. They secure their first win of the season with their new quarterback Andy Dalton. This is just one of those things. I don't know, football's weird. It wasn't even like just their defense looked better. All their skill players seemed to be performing well. It was a weird one to see that huge of an uptick just with the quarterback switch. Do you think this is legit or you think it's just like a switch up, everyone gets fired up and they go back to normal next week?
I think it's more of the latter. I think it's something where you'll see it every now and then. A coach gets fired or the quarterback changes and the team just comes out the first week or two and plays really good football, wins maybe games they shouldn't win. And then another couple weeks in, then you just see them go right back to what they were. It just seems like there's like a big adrenaline boost. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of players on the team are frustrated. Bryce Young just wasn't performing. You know, it's probably one of the worst draft picks we've seen in a long time. So I'm sure the team just had a breath of fresh air, just being like, holy crap, this guy's just an NFL quarterback. He can reliably pass the ball on time, in position, and it just feels like a football team. So I think we're going to see him falter from here on out, but it was really cool to see the team kind of play up to a different standard in Andy Dalton in the first game.
Yeah, you like seeing those teams just get on fire, but like you said, yeah, sometimes you get those midseason changes, and oftentimes it does result in like a huge uptick but it's just a short amount of time. So we'll see. Maybe they can keep it going. Maybe they can't. Time will tell. Up next, we got the Vikings just rolled over the Texans. Basically made C.J. Stroud look like a rookie again. He throws two picks. The Texans so far this year, to me, they haven't rolled into the season like I thought they would, like many people thought they would. I don't know if Stroud's coming back down to earth. I mean, they barely beat the Bears and the Colts this year, which do not look like good teams. What are your thoughts on the Texans so far?
It's hard to say when you haven't really watched their games, but just from a outsider perspective and just kind of what I've heard, I wonder if it's something along the lines of, you know, everyone kind of just thought Stroud was going to keep ascending because he had the best rookie quarterback season we've ever seen.
Yeah, well, he barely threw picks last year.
Yeah, he only threw like three or four on like 26 touchdowns. It was crazy. But I wonder if maybe he just never really got better. So maybe like he just peaked real early and maybe he just stays at this, you know, level for the rest of his career, which is kind of like a Matt Ryan level of player. I think everyone though thought this is like the next Peyton Manning, Tom Brady type prospect, right? Everyone was just like, wow, that kind of rookie season. So maybe that's a little bit of it. Maybe it's just a slow start. Hard to say. Or it's just maybe the Vikings are real, which we kind of talked about earlier. It's like, could be one of them or both.
It could be. I mean, we look back and, you know, 5 more weeks, we might say, oh shit, the Bears, the Vikings, the Colts have 3 of the best defense in the NFL. Maybe this gets off to a bad start. It worries me a little bit for them. Like you said, I think people just projected that he would get better, and it's looking worse so far. But he can still improve. He's still extremely young. I'm not overly concerned with it. But, I mean, maybe the expectations were just too high. Sometimes you get that when a guy has a season like that. You just expect they get a couple more guys in the team, too. They shore up their defense. You expect them to be even better. But they, so far, are not looking that way.
Yeah, they definitely spent money like Stroud is the next guy. They knew they had him. So they're trying to compete this year. Last year, they weren't even trying to compete.
They're trying to go all in. Next up we got the Eagles. They barely squeak out a win against the Saints. So do you think the Eagles are playoff contenders if they keep turning the ball over so much? I mean, so far there's 2 picks and 2 fumbles in the first 3 weeks, and it's pretty concerning to me. They're getting wins, but the control seems poor. It's concerning. I don't like it.
Yeah, I think one of the picks from the last game I saw Ertz play wasn't on him. I know there was some bad throws. I think he had a bad throw against the Packers that got picked too. I haven't really thought of it myself too much about the injury or the fumbles as much, but it's definitely a concern. I think it just shows you that Jalen Hurts as a passer isn't the top echelon of player, right? He definitely gets by on his legs. I think he even gets like a boost in what people think of how good he is because of how much better he is in fantasy than he is in regular football. He's not like much higher than like Dak, I think, in if you made a list of top 10 quarterbacks in the league, which is probably in the bottom of the top 10. Still a really good player, but he's not ascending it or pushing a team to like another level. He's going to probably get the most out of your players, and that's that.
Yeah, Hurts is weird. I feel like because so many people play fantasy football, he seems better than he is because he gets those tush-push touchdowns, and he is a great runner. But yeah, I mean, his throwing's been, I think, extremely questionable this year. And he always fumbles a few times a season, too. Yeah, I don't know about it. But, I mean, that division is kind of up for grabs because the Cowboys aren't looking great either. So we'll see what happens. Next up, we had the Bills just absolutely just embarrassed the Jaguars on Monday Night Football. There were 2 Monday Night Footballs on this week, and this one could get turned off at the halftime. I mean, it was just, I don't even know when the starters left the game, but I think it was early third quarter. Like, they were up by so much. On the flip side, Trevor Lawrence doesn't look like he should have gotten that huge paycheck. He looks quite awful so far this season. And it's not just this game. He's looked pretty bad. Any thoughts on either side of this one?
Well, the Jaguars side with Trevor Lawrence, it is pretty crazy because the head coach even came out and said that they're even talking about benching him already.
Wow.
So 3 weeks into the season, into that contract, and they're already talking about benching. It was kind of like a hard ass coach answer to something. So it wasn't like trying to be, but he's just like, you know, we're going to be looking at changes, quarterback included. So, you know, I think it's just kind of him trying to act tough when he probably wouldn't really do it, but it's a bit concerning, obviously. I mean, they have what a lot of people thought was the next Andrew Luck prospect at quarterback. And so far he's been a huge disappointment. And I think he's just living off of his name from college. It's probably why he got the contract he did. Mm-hmm. He hasn't ever really been that great. I think his old career pass rating is lower than Danny Dimes over in New York.
So, is it really?
Yeah, I mean, look how people think about him. So he's basically on the same level as a player and doesn't have the crazy rushing upside. And he's being talked like he's one of the top 10 guys in the league, or should be at least, and he's not.
He's paid like, I mean, I think he's paid like a top 5 guy in the league. They paid him a ton of money. And honestly, like, he got his money first, and I feel like that's why the Packers had to give Jordan Love so much money, and someone else signed after that, too. I think both those contracts were like, oh, well, Trevor Lawrence got this much, I want more, and I want more. So it's like, yeah, he was responsible for the extra money we had to give to some of these guys, which it's the way of the NFL, but it's just kind of weird when a guy like that gets it, who's really only had, he had one, his second season, I think it was, when they kind of barely made the playoffs and then had that awesome comeback win in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, they really haven't done anything with Trevor Lawrence at the helm.
Right. I think that's kind of what he's living off of, is that final run of his second season still. And he's regressed since that point. And you would think he would be better. I mean, they named the stadium after him, like whatever the company was, like their name was kind of close to Trevor. So they added TRE in front of it. I can't remember exactly how he say it, but yeah, they basically have a play on his name for the stadium. So that's how huge of a failure that would be. So yeah, hopefully it's just a bad start and they can start figuring it out. It would be nice to see him succeed, but it's getting a little concerning.
I would like to see him succeed. I mean, the more good quarterbacks in the NFL, the more fun the NFL is. So I hope he figures it out, but this is, you know, a year and a half removed from his last time I recall him like playing really well. So I'm concerned. I mean, on the flip side, the Bills look pretty fucking good this year. And I hope they actually perform this year. I hope they make a playoff run. You can maybe actually like beat Mahomes or something in the playoffs.
That's what they need to do.
Josh Allen will finally get to do it. Yeah, that's I mean that's been their Achilles heel since Josh Allen's been in the league pretty much.
I think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. I know that's probably contrarian because of Mahomes' success, but I think Mahomes has had a much steadier team around him his whole career. And I think just as individual players, I'd rather have Josh Allen if I needed to win one game.
I don't know if I can disagree with that. Mahomes just went into a well-managed, well-established, well-run, well-coached franchise. Josh Allen did not go into that at all. I mean, there's been a ton of turnover there, and I hope they're figuring it out now because he's awesome and he's fun to watch. And I love watching him spread the ball around on Monday night. It was cool. It was cool watching him just throw to everybody and just kind of doing whatever the fuck he wanted in that game.
He goes on the streaks like that where he just is unbelievable. Like you cannot beat his peak. His peak is the best quarterback I've ever seen. And when he hits it, it's just, man, three or four games in a row. If he just gets that in the playoffs goes on one of those heaters, it's over. No one's going to beat him, but he always does it like in the middle of the season. And then he kind of pulls off from like an injury. So yeah, I want to see him win one. He's always been one of my favorite players since he's been in the league. So it'd be fun to watch.
I agree. Last note, I got the other Monday night game. Nothing too crazy, but the Commanders beat the Bengals. A little bit of an upset, but it was really the only shootout of the week. Some high-scoring games. Almost every position was just winding up in points. Fun to watch. Kind of the opposite of the Bills game. It was just an absolute blowout. They were kind of going back and forth all game. But yeah, the Commanders look like they might be pretty good this year. I hope that they are.
Yeah, I agree. I was really impressed. I thought the Bengals were just kind of on their slow starts and they were going to come out here and just dominate the Commanders. I just think they're the overall team, but Jaden Daniels is, I think, the real deal. I was having a great time watching him play. He was very calm in the pocket. He handled the pressure really well. And then he just threw dimes down the field. There was like three of them that were just beautiful high arc balls. They remind me a lot of Russell Wilson in his peak in his prime.
I hope they keep that up. Like I said, the more good quarterbacks, the better. Makes for more fun games and more high-scoring games and more fun for fantasy. All right, we'll kick it straight into the next segment. I guess we got the NFC North talk. The Vikings remain on top of the division. They keep their undefeated streak alive against the Houston Texans in my opinion, a pretty impressive win. They didn't just beat them. I mean, they whooped their fucking asses. Another game that was extremely one-sided. The Vikings D just kind of embarrassed CJ Stroud. They got two interceptions and it made him look pretty bad. Thoughts on this one? I think we kind of already talked about this game, I guess, basically, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they might be the most impressive team in the league so far from what like their expectations were, at least for what we both talked about to what they are. I mean, the first couple weeks, they're legit.
Yeah. Next up, I guess we had the Bears. They lost again. So they fall to the bottom of the division. We're getting a little separation here. Not too much. We're only 3 weeks in. But Caleb Williams finally gets his first NFL touchdown. And he got two of them. But he accompanies it with two picks. He threw for a ton of yards, but it wasn't a great game. I mean, I don't even know why they were... they were just chucking it left, right, and center. I mean, I think it's because they're O-line. They don't have a run game. But, I mean, it seemed like the wrong strategy to attack the Colts with. Any thoughts on that one?
I mean, kind of what you said. I just think the running game is non-existent. They know they can't run, so they're naturally just going to throw more. It's been a bad combination. I mean, yeah, they have like one of the better skill position groups in the NFL. I remember before the season started, you'd see like on Twitter or something, or even on Reddit, you'd see like these things. It'd be like best skill position players, Bears. It'd be like over the Lions and like all these other great teams. And it was this hypothetical how great they could be. But it's like, it comes down to if you don't have a functional offensive line, it doesn't matter how good your skill positions are. It doesn't matter how good your top players are. The offensive line makes everything else work around it. And Caleb Williams has to overcome that. It's going to be hard. He's not going to look good for the whole season, but or at least until they can figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to start up. That's the way to build up. Build your offensive line first. Get one of those, like, you know, journeymen in the NFL, like a Sam Darnold or something, you know. There's like always like four or five of those guys floating around the NFL. It's like, not great quarterbacks, but they're all right. They're not going to turn the ball over a ton. Just get one of those guys, build your old line, and then get the skill positions, and then get like your hopefully franchise quarterback. But it's the Bears just keep every time their rookie quarterback is at the end of his contract, they just draft a new one. And it's always a top tier pick because they're always bad. And I hope Caleb Williams doesn't just get busted like the last two of them did, but I don't know. And I feel like that's what's going to happen again.
I think, yeah, you're just seeing a poorly run organization. I think Caleb Williams is a good prospect. I think he's being held back by what's around him, which is kind of the ironic from what people thought he was going into a great situation. It really isn't.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they built the wrong things first and they're trying to make it work. We'll see if they can turn it around. I don't have high hopes for him right now though. So up next, next one, we had the Packers led by Malik Willis. Actually led by Malik Willis this time, not Josh Jacobs. They beat the Titans. Titans have a good run defense, so the Packers couldn't just rely on Josh Jacobs all the whole game this time. So they kind of relied on Malik. And Malik went to his former home at the Titans, and he beat him up. Like, he was making good throws. He was making good runs with his legs. He had several huge third down pickups in that game and a great touchdown run. I've been thoroughly impressed with what the Packers have been able to do with Malik Willis at the helm so far. Any thoughts?
I think you're kind of seeing what a good run organization compared to a poorly run organization difference is. You know, we're talking about before with kind of the Bears, but you can even look at the Titans and Packers in this game. Malik Willis got cut by the Titans. He performed like one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
When he started for them for a couple games, goes over to Green Bay, and I mean, he looked really good. I mean, no,
he's been
doubt
there for a month.
It. Right. And he's only been there a month and he played that well because I think the Packers, you know, they have a good system around them. They have a good offensive line. They have a group of receivers that work together in tandem that make you kind of hit all these different styles of players, so it meshes well together. And again, that's that whole nucleus. So you put him in there, it's not always about the quarterback, it's everything around him. And yeah, he was great, which is, I can't believe I thought they're gonna lose two games. I didn't think Malik even had a shot.
I did too. Everyone I talked to, Packer fans, was in kind of the same boat of Malik Willis. There's no way we're waiting any games with this guy. It's been absolutely flabbergasting to me that he's done what he's done with the Packers in Jordan Love's absence. And I'm curious if they're just going to ride him again into the divisional game against the Vikings, because he's won two in a row. And if Love's 100% healthy, obviously he's coming back. But if he's at 85%, I could see him being like, just wait another week. We'll see what happens there. Last divisional team, the Lions, obviously. They steal one from the Cardinals. They get a pick six erased off the board, thrown by the Lions quarterback. Those digital clocks, you know, they're hard to read for some people. Whether it says 2 or 201, whether you let the guy snap the ball or that, it's tricky stuff. So the Cardinals get a touchdown erased, and the Lions and Packers are now tied for second in the division by the Vikings. Goff has 4 picks in 3 weeks. That's not great. Lucky it's not 5, though. I say that mostly that it just, I mean, they won by, I believe, 10 points. But that's still a momentum swing. I thought it was crazy. Did you think that was a legit call or a bad call or a good call? Or it was the call? And
it was blown dead. No, it was blown dead. Before the snap,
was it blown dead? That's the question.
It was blown dead. There's even a still of the center over the ball with it showing it's 0-0. A lot of people are looking at the shot clock, I think, or like the game clock and not the actual like 2 minute warning clock. Because the 2 minute warning clock was 0 and the game clock was still at like 0-1, 0-2 in a lot of those still photos. So that, I think, confused some people with it. But if you listen to it, I've watched a video from some guy doing analysis on it, and it's like the whistle's being blown dead right away. And you can even see the Lions offensive lineman kind of not really block. That's why there's like three people that hit Goff basically right away. So, it looked bad at the time. I thought it was a pick or something. And then after I saw it again, yeah, it didn't bother me. It was just, play was blown dead. Goff still has been a little rusty so far. He threw a pick. I can't remember the pick that well right now, but I do remember him going 14 for 14 in the beginning of the game. So he was accurate. He was delivering. And then he had, I think, one or two like bad throws. And one of those was like the pick. And then kind of carried right back into what he was doing in the beginning of the game to finish it out. So he played well, other than the one pick. I'm not worried about him. I think we're going to keep just on the path we're going. We're going to be most likely the team that wins the division. I'm not, no doubts yet.
No worries about Goff yet, huh? Not worried about him regressing a little bit this season? Because his last season was great.
No, I don't think there's any regressing. I think we saw what he's been the last 2 years. I think he's just the same player. I think he had some good luck in, not last season, but the season before, where he went on that like no pick spree, where it was like third in the NFL history. I think he is a somewhat turnover prone quarterback in a way. He does make a poor decision every now and then, and you just kind of live with it. And that's just what we've kind of had, bad pick luck in the beginning of the season. Sometimes you have good pick luck.
Could be. Maybe it'll bounce back out as time goes on.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's the division. We get the Lions and the Packers on the top. At not on the top, in the middle, but at 2-1. The Vikings are on top, so at 3-0. And the Bears have fallen to last place with 1-2. Up next, we got the trade block section. First time with this section. But we had a bunch of pretty big trades this week. Most of them involved you, actually. But So we'll start with the first one. So you traded Derrick Henry and Isaiah Likely to Richard for Jonathan Taylor. So I assume you preferred Jonathan Taylor over Derrick Henry at the time.
Yeah, I would probably put him in like the same tier, but I'd probably put Jonathan Taylor at the top of the tier and then Derrick Henry a little bit lower on it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind having either one. I think they both could end up being one of the top 3-5 running backs this season. But Richard was the one guy that offered 20 on Isaiah Likely. So I'm like, okay, he probably likes him. And I still like Pitts. I got Likely because I wasn't really sure if he was going to be really good or not. But I wanted to definitely try it because if Pitts fell off, then I had a good tight end to back him up. So I just decided to offer him Henry Likely for Taylor, thinking, okay, give me a slightly better running back. And you get the tight end that you wanted last week. And that was the trade that he told me he was going to think about. And then like an hour later, he accepted it. So I was pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out well for both parties, I guess. Derrick Henry performed extremely well this week. Jonathan Taylor performed extremely well this week. Not for your team, but we'll get into that next. Isaiah Likely, not so much. But the Ravens just kind of ran the ball all goddamn game because they were dominating. They've kind of almost pissed that lead away and the game away, but they just didn't need to pass that much. It was the Derrick Henry show.
Game flow.
Yeah. I guess that leads us right into the next one. You took your newly acquired Jonathan Taylor, you packaged him up with Zach Charbonnet, and you traded him to Jackie for Saquon Barkley. Again, this is your trade. What do you have to say?
So after I got Jonathan Taylor, I thought he'd be a little bit more enticing. And Zach Charbonnet was more valuable to Jackie than anyone else in the league.
Yeah.
Because of Ken Walker. With Ken Walker already being injured, I thought, well, maybe she'd like Charbonnet. You know, he's actually kind of almost worth a starter to her, because what this trade does for her is it brings up her floor every week, because now if she ever does miss out on Walker, she has Charbonnet to fill in, and she's pretty much is a exact replacement for that production, where you don't have to go back to your, you know, bench and pick up someone who makes scores like 6 points. But in the return, she loses a little bit of her ceiling, because I think, you know, Saquon's a step above Taylor. So it was just kind of like a leapfrog for me to get to Saquon. And it was a unique situation where she could use Zach Charbonnet. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even offered it to her if she didn't have Ken Walker. But I thought it was a unique position for her and me to make a trade.
Yeah, it worked out well. I mean, she showed that to me. She asked what I thought. I was like, honestly, that seems pretty damn fair. I was like, if you had to pick Saquon or Jonathan Taylor straight up, I mean, I'd slightly prefer Saquon. But that was before these week's games happened. But I was like, dude, Jonathan Taylor ended as the number one running back just like, was it 2 years ago? Like, he was the boss dog. He was the number one pick the following year. Yep. Then he got hurt. And after watching the Packer game and what Jonathan Taylor did to the Packers, I was like, fucking goddamn, this guy is still good as shit. Like, maybe it's possibly just the Packers' run defense is god-awful, but I was like, God, he was just gashing us. And if they would have kept giving him the ball, we might have lost that game. But they didn't. They started chucking it and turning it over. And I was like, in my opinion, they're probably going to try to limit how much they let the man throw and probably give it to Jonathan Taylor more going forward. He's that kind of back that you can give it to a lot. I was like, that part is like kind of, you know, tit for tat. I mean, either guy could end up number one. Jonathan Taylor doesn't have the receiving chops that Saquon does, so that's kind of a big downgrade. But then, yeah, the Zach Charbonnet thing, because she had Kenneth Walker, I was like, that's a pretty fair trade. So I was like, would I take it? I don't know. That's personal preference.
Yeah, I think that...
And she wound up taking it, I think, the next day or later that day. I can't remember.
Yeah, like I said, I think it really comes down to that Charbonnet was just perfect trade chip for me to offer her. And like you were saying, Saquon is basically just Jonathan Taylor as a runner. He just has a little bit more receiving upside. So you get very similar points, but Saquon will probably nudge him out by a couple points per game at the end of the season just because he'll be a little bit better at receiving.
He gets that receiving action, yeah.
Right. So that's basically what I'm paying for. And again, she kind of lowers her ceiling because she's going to have, you know, Saquon being removed for Taylor, but she'll, if she ever has injuries, to
yeah.
Either of those running backs, she has a good backup.
It's good to shore up a running back room. You know, she's got Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet now, so if there's some weeks you might wind up starting them both because someone's on bye and someone's injured. That's a real thing. And there's also just injuries happen, byes happen. Like, it's running backs can come and go like flies. It's good to have a lot of them.
Yeah, I don't think she even had like a really good number three running back either.
She did not. Nope, she did not.
That's another reason why I was like, okay, she kind of needs him because she doesn't have anyone to start right now.
There was very little depth there, yeah. So yeah, I like both the trades so far. They made sense. Seemed to benefit. Everyone seemed to, obviously both sides liked it. That's why they accepted it. The last one, we had the last big trade. Well, I'll go through all of them. I mean, because there was one more just before we started recording. But anyways, the next one is Scooter traded Quentin Johnson and Devon Achain to Lee. Lee gave up CMC and Amari Cooper. I'm curious what your thoughts on this one are.
I was actually really proud of Lee when I saw this trade because I kind of felt it was very... He took some advice from me from the following interview when we talked to him about, you know, trying to get a starter in return and then get like a high upside guy. And this is like exactly that type of trade. Yeah, he had to throw Amari Cooper in to sweeten it for Scooter. But I mean, even though I don't like Achan's situation right now, and I do think he's going to fall off a little bit, it's still him taking the swing he needed to take to have his team be competitive this year. You get what looks to be a pretty good running back starter. And then Quentin Johnson, who's a first round pick just 2 years ago. So you're hoping that, yeah, he was a disappointment, but if he lives up to his potential, he could be a huge steal. He could be more valuable than Cooper in this trade. So it's a benefit trade for both people because obviously Scooter had Mason, CMC's backup, to be kind of a similar situation that we're talking about with Jackie and Zach Charbonnet and I forget his name again already. There's CX running back.
Who's running back?
Who's the other running back for Seattle? I forgot his name. Charbonnet
or Kenneth Walker?
Kenneth Walker. So sorry. Kenneth Walker. Yeah.
I know how that goes.
So yeah, I just had a brain fart. But yeah, he has like the similar situation then with CMC and now Mason.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's more valuable to Scooter than anyone else. And then he gets Amari Cooper, who started out kind of slow, but he has a high upside for him. So he gets a somewhat decent starter in return for losing two starters. I think it worked out really well for both of them, and we'll see where they go. Obviously, the CMC trade is a pretty risky one for all parties involved.
Yeah, we'll get more into... We'll have a little bit more CMC news later on. But yeah, I like the trade. I like that Lee... I mean, he made a trade. He made a move. If you didn't want to go 0-3, you came goddamn close to not being 0-3. he scored 130 something and he lost. That sucks. I mean, you made the trade, you made the moves, you scored maybe the second highest score in the league this week, and he still lost. That really sucks. Was it? Yeah, I didn't actually look, but I mean, 130 in fantasy football, you're winning probably 85% of the time with this score. And in this league, I mean, all scoring is different, but so I feel bad for him on that aspect. But it was a good trade. It was the right move. It was the right move at the time. And it almost got him to 1-2 instead of 0-3. But what can you do? Fantasy football can be a harsh mistress sometimes. All right, that wraps it up for part one of week 3 podcast. We will have a part 2 up shortly after part 1. So tune in for that if you're interested in more fantasy football talk.